Let's pray a prayer to receive God's word. Thanks, God, for this Sunday morning that we can be in your house to hear your word, to receive your sacrament, to worship with brothers and sisters, to learn more about you, to follow you as your disciples. So, God, open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds. Grant us faith to receive your words and to respond to them. In Jesus' name, amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our study of the book of John today. We're on the section of the calling of Jesus' first disciples. And so you've got this picture up here on our screens, the calling of the disciples, and you've got that empty boat. Hopefully that brings an image into your mind when Jesus calls his disciples to follow me. Remember we said, though, that John in his gospel kind of comes at things from a little bit different angle sometimes. Not that one is right, one is wrong, but just a little bit different view of things. So usually when we think of the call to discipleship, we get these words from the book of Matthew, and I know they're a little bit hard to read there in my dark screen there, but Matthew tells us this, Matthew 4, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Now that's the way the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about Jesus calling his disciples. He looks for them. He calls them. He commands them, in fact, follow me. Come and follow me. And they leave their boats. They leave their nets. They leave their father in the boat, it says about James and John, right? And they follow Jesus. Now, if you were paying attention kind of carefully to John's gospel, because these stories all flow together, it's a little bit different in John's gospel. In John's gospel, people follow Jesus because a good friend brings them to Jesus. A good friend goes out and finds them and tells them about Jesus. Not that Jesus comes in looking for them necessarily, although he does so with Philip, but it's a friend that comes and says, hey, we found somebody special. And usually there's a little bit of disbelief there, and so they also give this phrase, come and see. Come and see. That's the title of my sermon today. Come and see. Can you say that with me? Come and see. Man, that's witnessing. That's discipleship. That's calling other people to follow Jesus. We often make it so hard to be a witness for Jesus. Would you say it again? Come and see. You can do it. So you can do it. You're prepared. They're not out knocking on strangers' doors. They're not out there ringing doorbells. They're not out there trying to break through closed down gates. They're talking to a friend or a relative or someone in the workspace, and they just say, what? Come and see. And that's how we can help others believe in Jesus, too. Yeah, remember John the Baptist, and we talked about him last week, didn't he? He's pointing others to Jesus. He's happy when his own disciples stop following him and go follow the real master, Jesus. And so in our story today, too, he points two of his disciples, and he says, hey, there's the Lamb of God. And sure enough, those two disciples, one we know is Andrew, the other we're not sure who it is, but we guess maybe John, the gospel writer. But boy, they do immediately leave John the Baptist and they follow Jesus and they stay with him. And notice what Jesus says to them too. Jesus turned and saw them following. And he said to them, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? And he said, come and see. Come and see. That's what even Jesus said in the story here to these guys. Now, we also ask them the question, what are you seeking? What are you seeking when you come into this church of orange carpets and orange pews? What are you seeking? Are you just coming here because it's a comfortable place for you? Maybe you've been coming for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Are you coming because you hear God's word proclaimed? Because you receive God's sacrament for your strengthening of your faith, because you meet your Savior Jesus here time and time again and pray to him and receive his blessing and his guidance. What are you seeking? Kind of an interesting first question from Jesus to a would-be disciple. Kind of an interesting question from Jesus to us, too. Maybe you followed him for 20 years already, but what are you seeking? What are you seeking now? And Jesus even says, just come and see. I don't got to give you a hardcore theology lesson. I don't have to test you over Luther's catechism. Just come and see. Come and spend some time with me. Come and listen to me. Come and watch how I'm going to relate to people of all kinds, whether it's religious leaders or social outcasts. Come and see. Spend some time with me. Remember the first thing Andrew did after he went and saw. Man, that very night, it seems, he went and got his big brother Peter. He said, man, we found the Messiah. We found the Christ. We found the one they've been writing about and talking about for thousands of years. And he brings his big brother to Jesus. That word found comes up a couple times in our reading today. Andrew went and found Peter. Jesus went and found Philip. Philip went and found Nathanael. And just couldn't wait to tell him about this newborn Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, starting to preach and do his work. Yeah, think of those words when Philip tells his buddy Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael says, Nazareth? What a dump. Can anything come out of that place? And what's the high-powered theological answer? Come and see. Come and listen. Come and pay attention. Come and give him a chance. Come and see. He is the one we've been waiting for. That simple come and see is a great way to witness to someone. The angel on Easter morning even used that trick, if you recall. Where'd he go? That's not the angel on Easter morning. The angel, I'm going the wrong way, sorry. The angel on Easter morning, there it is, said to the woman, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen just as he said. Come and see. Stick your head in the tomb. Think about the prophecies. Think about the reality. Come and experience this Jesus. Yeah. Witnessing is really not so hard. I've got a great way for us to double the membership in our church this year. And it's this little slogan, each one, reach one. Why don't you be an Andrew? Go to a friend this week and say, come and see. Maybe it's your big brother. Maybe it's somebody you work with. I'd like to say John the Baptist and his disciples were working together. So tell one of your workmates. Tell one of your relatives. Tell one of your friends. Each one, reach one. And in a year from now, we'll have twice as many people here. Wouldn't that be great? And you know the thing? You pay me pretty well, and you call me your pastor, and you ask me to do work in God's name in this place on our behalf, and I love to do that, but I don't know all your friends, so I can't really reach them too easy. I don't know the people you work with, so I have no interaction with them. But you know it. You can say, come and see. Each one can reach one. And God will bless us as we share that simple message. Well, boy, John's Gospel, chapter 1. Look at all the different names we've learned about for Jesus in chapter 1. In verse 1, he's called the Word. Remember, the way that God communicates with us, the way that God wants to reveal himself to us. Jesus is the Word. It also says so plainly, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's also called the true light, that light that lightens every man. In our readings today, what's he called? He's called the Lamb of God, that sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice whose blood is going to be shed in place of ours. He's called Rabbi or Teacher. He's called Messiah, the Anointed One. He's called the one that Moses wrote about, the one that the prophets wrote about, the one that the Old Testament is pointing to. That's Jesus. And then good old Nathanael comes along and he says right away, man, if you saw me under the fig tree, you're the Son of God. You're the king of Israel. And Jesus just called him an Israelite, in whom is no guile. So if you're the king of Israel, that means you're my king, Jesus. You're the one I want to listen to. You're the one I want to respond to. You're the one I want to learn from, the king of Israel. And then Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. All those names for Jesus, right in chapter 1 already. Remember, because John's trying to get us to confess, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. That's his theme verse, remember? Let's talk about Nathanael a little bit. After Buddy, Philip says, Nathanael, come and see. So I guess he started on his way to Jesus, and Jesus kind of was on his way to meet Nathanael too. And he says, man, I saw you while you're under that fig tree. I knew you a long time ago. We don't know exactly what that means, but it communicated something to Nathanael. Nathanael got an insight to say, hey, this guy knows more about me than a guy's supposed to know. This guy has got some kind of special knowledge. Maybe he was having a great quiet time under that fig tree. That's what some people say. It's a nice kind of shady place to meditate. Somehow, Jesus knew him. And so Nathanael gives that confession. You're the Son of God. You're the King of Israel. But notice Jesus' words. Because I said, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You're going to see greater things than that. Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God. And that's the connection between our Old Testament reading for today, Jacob's ladder. What do you do with ladders? You climb up and you climb down. You climb up and you climb down. And as we get older, we send somebody up and we send somebody down. We don't want to go up that ladder anymore. But a ladder helps us to get up. And what's up? Heaven's up there. Wow. Jacob has this dream of heaven. And the door's open. And God's standing there on top, waiting for him, talking to him. And God's angels going up and down that ladder. Famous story in the Old Testament. Certainly Nathanael knew it. So Jesus comes along and says, truly, truly, I say to you, you're going to see heaven opened. And not just you, Nathanael, you plural. You disciples, all of you believers, you're going to see heaven's door opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. See, Jesus is that ladder. Jesus is that connection between heaven and earth. Jesus is the one and only way that's going to allow sinful people like us to get up the ladder and be with God for eternity. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the ladder. No one climbs up to heaven, if you will, but by me, Jesus said. Paul said it in his more complicated theological way. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. One mediator. Not take your pick. Not believe any religion you want to and it'll be okay. Not all religions are the same. No, one God-appointed mediator. You know, people say, sometimes you Christians seem so pig-headed. You know, there's sincere believers of other religions. Yeah. And you can be sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. So we want to invite our friend. Come and see. Come and listen. Come and experience this guy named Jesus. Come and see those greater things. Watch him raise Lazarus from the dead. Hear him as he preaches to the 5,000 and feeds them after the sermon. Hear him as he speaks to you with whatever is troubling your heart today. Come and see and bring a friend. John told his disciples about Jesus. Andrew told his brother about Jesus. Philip told his buddy about Jesus. Who do you want to tell about Jesus? See, it seems like that's the pattern, right? It seems like when you know who Jesus is, you just can't wait to tell somebody. Fill in the blank. Who do you want to tell about Jesus? come and see. Come to church with me. Come to Bible class with me. Come and meet the one and only Savior of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.